Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. Christmas is 15 days away. 15 days. It's just incredible. It's just incredible that we're here already. But I am very, very happy to be here today. As always, I'm always happy to be here to do my show and to have you here with me, however you're here with me, if you're here now or in the future or whatever. And I'm very excited because today is the day that C.A. Brooks joins me for our December 2024 Meeting of the Minds. And that's always a good discussion, and you are invited to be a part of it. So please join us in the chat room if you can. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat room. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll just see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, though, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. This Thursday is 12 day, and we'll have randomized pricing on calls and chats, and time-based sessions and other services will be at reduced rates. But 12 day is really fun because all of the advisors are at different prices, and those prices change all day long. So it's a neat energy. It's a moving kind of energy, you know, exciting kind of energy. So if you haven't checked us out at 12listen.com, 12 day is a good way to do it. And we celebrate that the 12th of every month. So again, it's this Thursday. Time-based sessions, as I said, and other services will be at reduced rates. I'll have my 1 day replenish 15-minute time-based session at a very special price just for the day. I'm teaching a You Empowered class that evening at 5 o'clock Pacific time, so I'll be on around 10:30 a.m. Pacific until about 4:30 p.m. Pacific, but I'd love to talk to you, and that's plenty of time to get a call in. So I just want to say thanks again for being here today. Thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all of the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. 12radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So take advantage. I encourage you to take advantage. And I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today. And I'm just going to get right to setting up our conversation after I introduce you to C.A. Brooks, or maybe not introduce you to her, but you may, you know, I just think everybody knows C.A., but there are people that don't. So C.A. is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things, tarot, feng shui, many, many things, many interests. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter, and she hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12radio, which immediately precedes this show, Empowerment, live every Tuesday, excuse me, at 9 a.m. Pacific. She also has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And I always look forward to our show together because we could talk for days, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. And especially because I know she's very busy, and she takes her time out once a month to join me, and I appreciate that very much. Our meeting of the minds is where we can bring everything and anything to the table. Spirituality, astrology, tarot, feng shui, and anything else. Everything is welcome. Because we just pick a topic and we start talking. And whatever comes, comes. And that's why it's interesting. And that's why it's also just a lot of fun. So I'll have CA join me in just a couple of minutes after I set up the starting point of our discussion. And what I want to talk about today, because it's just been knocking on my door. I mean, I've been reading, you know, just several different New Thought authors. I'm just really in that. You know, that's taken on a new life for me, and I've been teaching a lot from it on this show and just really enjoying it, really having it expand and hit differently than when I first studied it 15 years ago, 15, 14 years ago, because I'm in a different place. And, you know, there's one thing that I want to say. Whoever your foundational teachers were that for a reason, right? And we all move, we all evolve, we all go beyond. I love to study. So, you know, I'm always interested and I follow the breadcrumbs to anybody new, you know, and I don't mean it like that, but I read and study and get a lot from a lot of different philosophies, you know, not just New Thought, but Buddhism, Hinduism, just the Tao, all of them, because they're all coming there. It's all the same thing. Truth is truth, right? And all roads lead to Rome. But to just hear different voices, to read and just feel it hit, you know, feel it hit or not hit or whatever, but not to exclude it, you know, not to exclude it, to see what's out there, to really see what's out there. And I love doing that. I love doing that. So the thing that's been tapping me on the shoulder, I actually wrote about in my PowerPeak article this week. And it's about depending on your connection with Source and the information you get from it in your meditation, through your intuitive hits, whatever your connection is, but depending on that above all else, knowing that that truly is the voice of Spirit talking to you and using it, following it, trusting it. And this is the thing that kind of keeps coming up for me in different, I listen to Audible books and I read books and it's been kind of a theme running through them. So I want to talk about it again, or talk about it on the show, I guess, probably for the first time, I think. But anyway, this is the quote from Ernest Holmes. All the power and intelligence of the universe is already within, waiting to be utilized. The divine spark must be fanned into a blaze of living fire of your own divinity. Self-reliance is the word to dwell on. Listen to your own voice. It will speak in terms that are unmistakable. Trust in your own self more than all else. All great men have learned to do this. Every person within his own soul is in direct communication with the infinite understanding. When we depend on other people, we're simply taking their light and trying to light our path with it. When we depend on ourselves, we are depending on the inner voice that is God, speaking in and through man. And that's from the Creative Mind and Success. But the name of the chapter is Don't Be a Leaner. And I that just gives me a smile every time I read that. Then I'm reading In Tune with the Infinite, Ralph Waldo Trine. And he's a heavyweight. He's a heavyweight that I've seen this book. I've read parts of it in the past. And again, at the time that I read it or tried to read it, it didn't hit. Now it's hitting and it's really, really good. And he's incredible. In fact, his book, In Tune with the Infinite, Henry Ford read his book and gave out hundreds of copies to different people. So it's worth a listen. You can get it on Audible. Anyway, he wrote, "This is the spirit of infinite wisdom. And in the degree that we open ourselves to it, does the highest wisdom manifest itself to and through us? In order for the highest wisdom and insight, we must have absolute confidence in the divine guiding us, but not through the channel of someone else. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." That's James 1:5. "Before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Isaiah 65:24. When we thus go directly to the infinite source itself, we're no longer slaves to personalities, institutions, or books. We should always keep ourselves open to suggestions of truth from these agencies. We should always regard them as agencies, however, and never as sources, but simply as teachers. There's no more important injunction in all the world, not one with a deeper interior meaning than to thine own self be true. In other words, be true to your own soul, for it is through your own soul that the voice of God speaks to you. This is the interior guide. This is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. This is conscience. This is intuition. This is the voice of the higher self, the voice of the soul, the voice of God. Again, that's Ralph Waldo Trine, In Tune with the Infinite. So, thinking about that, my purpose as a teacher, everything I do, my purpose is empowerment. And that, to me, in a nutshell, means to share wisdom that I've realized for the purpose of attaining a greater connection to and demonstration of the infinite self. Every person is in their individual evolution. That's why listening to the voice of your soul is going to talk directly to you where you are. I have no idea where you are. You know, where anyone is, my students, people that listen, I have no idea, and neither does anyone else. But God always meets us where we are. So no matter who the teacher is, it's good to give ourselves permission to take what resonates and leave what doesn't. That way, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but in feeling whether something resonates or not, we are listening to our infinite self. We are. How do we know it resonates with what? Resonates with our soul. So anyway, that's something that we may not realize, but we are. That's information from our infinite self. And the more we do that, the more we depend on it. The more we listen, the more we pay attention, and most of all, the more we trust, the more we get. The more guidance we get. That's how it works. You follow your intuitive hits, whether it leads you to the pot of gold or not, you follow. And you know what? You get more intuitive hits. You establish your spiritual language, because I think we all have our own language with spirit. And we know what a hit is. We know what a yes and a no is in our own being. But the more we depend on it, the more guidance we get, if we just trust and follow. So bringing that into right now, you know, brings me to Christmas shopping. And, you know, no one in my family, no one needs anything. No one. The kids have everything they could possibly desire and more. And just everybody's fine. And now, you know, this year especially, you know, there are fewer people to buy for. So a few years ago, I decided to give gifts to my family that I loved. Gifts that I loved, that I was happy to give to them. Because again, they don't need anything, right? But if I find something that lights me up, that joy goes with that gift when I give it to them. So, and then last year, I decided, or it just came to me as a good idea, and I think it's a very good idea, that since it's Christmas, I would give them Christmas gifts. And I'd done that for my niece and nephew and their spouses before. And last year I included Jared and Kristen in that. And they all loved them. They all just loved, I gave them Christmas decorations and Christmas things. One year I gave my niece and nephew and their spouses, It's a Wonderful Life, the DVD. And then I found the little gold bell. You know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets her wings. And there was something else. I think a candle, a real Christmassy smelling candle. And it was like the biggest hit ever. So, okay, you know, they're young families. They're building their Christmas trees, right? Their Christmas decorations. So it makes sense. And like I said, they all love them. And then this year I just included my sister-in-law and brother in it too. But the thing is that I'm happy with everything that I bought and everything that I'm going to give them because I followed my joy and my intuition in choosing the gifts that I'm giving. And, you know, I hope they like them. But if not, I'm still happy because they are given with love and I know that that will be felt. So on that note, that was kind of random ending. CA, thanks for being with me today. What do you think?
Well, I'm just thinking because I'm kind of with you, or I know in my family there's been a lot of discussions this year about Christmas gifts, but the underlying thing to me has felt like obligation.
Yeah.
And not just for me, but even the discussions have somehow had, and by the way, I've only been in one discussion. I've mostly been hearing about other discussions. But what keeps hitting me is that the person telling me about the discussion, the feeling is, how can we make this less painful? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that is concerning. You know, it's just concerning because, you know, and it's like, so how can we make this less painful?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the spirit that I would like to be in at this point. And
no.
The truth is, I've bought several things throughout the year, but sort of in the vein that you're saying, things that I know historically, like that my mom would really just love, but I love it. You know, it's like, it's not Christmas without it. So, you know, and especially as she's gotten much older, you know, it's like, she's not going to remember, oh, we always do this. You know, we always have that, you know, so it's a food item, it's a candy.
Okay.
And so I just made sure, and I just ordered it a couple months ago to make sure that it would be here in December. And that to me feels like love. That also feels like Christmas and not obligation. Whereas, okay, you know, picking a name, and I'm not knocking that. I mean, there are all kinds of ways and you know, that people have their rituals, et cetera. And I also know that it can be really tough when you're trying to come up with something for somebody. And in fact, that's what I told somebody, is I said, well, the problem to me with picking a name, and I guess we can switch them around, but I mean, I could potentially get somebody that I really don't know very well, or not in terms of giving them a meaningful gift. Let's put it that way. Because, you know, the family's pretty big. And I said, so then do we turn to a list? Here's my list of all the things I want. And somehow, in other years, that felt okay to me, you know, to go on Amazon and see what they wanted. I don't know why that didn't feel very good to me this year, but it just didn't. It didn't feel good. And so I just said, well, you know, if that's the way everybody wants to go, I will go that way. It doesn't feel that great to me, but I will do it. And I recognize. So then I was kind of getting into that. Okay, how can we make this less painful? And, you know, I mean, maybe it is what it is. You know, we all go through those cycles, but this is a wonderful conversation to be having. You know, maybe it's a little late for some people because, you know, they're already doing it. But then the other thing is, that's it. I've already got a number of things, and most of them are not like spectacular. They're just things throughout the year that I go, oh my God, she'd love that. She would really love that. You know, does she need it? No, but she'd love it. You know, it's so her. And so I've got all those things just stashed away. And no, they don't meet all the requirements of like, okay, are we going to spend $50 per person, or what are we going to do? They don't meet all those requirements. And maybe that's what it was, is it's like, I know that especially in a large family, we need to have some rules. I mean, that's what's going to make it the best, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as an individual person, and maybe I'm already under the influence of Pluto and, you know, Aquarius, you know, I want to be a rule breaker. It's kind of like, no, I want to get what I want for the person that I want to get it for. And, you know, I'm feeling constricted, you know?
Yeah.
And so how do I deal with that? And fortunately, a couple of people have December birthdays. So I thought, okay, I could always give those as birthday gifts too, you know, that kind of thing. So, but in any case, it's a really worthwhile topic. And just to even look in our hearts and say, well, what is this about anyway? You know, what is this about? Because, you know, the other thing, Kelly, that game, I don't know why I have always resisted it, even though I've had fun sometimes doing it. The game where everybody brings a gift, like sometimes in clubs and organizations, they do this. Everybody brings a gift and then you choose a gift, but people can steal it away from you.
Yeah.
That never feels good to me.
Yeah.
Even though I recognize that then a lot of times people really do end up getting what they want because, I don't need little earbuds, and this person does need earbuds, so they steal it from me, you know, that kind of thing. But there is just something about taking taking the gifts away. It's one thing if people are exchanging, but I don't know. I mean, I've seen that kind of go from bad to worse.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of people taking, you know, the prized gift, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and, I do know what you mean.
And yeah, like I said, everybody does it. I just got an email yesterday saying, hey, the art club, we're going to have, you know, a gift exchange, and this is the way it's going to work. And, but in this one, it's even more, I think, loaded emotionally because it's an art club. So what they're asking us to bring is a piece of our own art.
Oh, geez, I couldn't even do that.
Yeah, so they're saying
I could not do that.
And mm-hmm. and they even said, you know, try not to be emotional about this, and if you can't do it, you can't do it, but bring a piece of art and then we're going to have this swap and people can steal back and forth. Well, how are you going to feel if your piece of art is always the one nobody wants?
If nobody stole your art. Yeah. No. No thanks.
There's part of me going, "Oh my God, this sounds like it could be fun. It could be really fun to see other people's art," because I take watercolor classes, but this is a big art club where there's lots of classes that most of the people I don't even know. So, I mean, it could be a really fun gathering and, you know, talking to other people who do different kinds of art. It could be really fun and just seeing what they do. But somehow I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I'm in for this.
I couldn't do it.
You know, and yeah, and do I want to give away a piece that I really like? The answer is probably no. And then if I do, and then nobody wants it.
Oh, no, I would avoid that like the plague. I'm serious. Oh, yeah. I just couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. I just but I keep looking at that within myself because I know that's a pervasive game. I mean, already I've been involved in several, you know, holiday gatherings where they're doing that. And I go, people really seem to like it. So why don't you like it? Are you just too, is this an ego thing? Are you just too invested? Whereas other people are just having fun. You know, other people are like, they're not invested in whether or not, you know, I mean, they think it's fun to be stealing the gifts back and forth. I'm not even sure they care about the gifts that much. You know, they just think
right.
It's fun. And it's like, so CA, are you just not any fun?
No, but, well, I think it goes back to, here's my thought on it. When you buy a gift to me, a gift is intended for a person. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's something that you give, and giving is beautiful. It's important. I think that just takes that aspect away.
Yeah.
And even though in that, you know, again, you don't have a specific person you're buying for, but, and maybe that's the other part that doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of goes against my grain too, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet the way I saw it work last year in my particular watercolor class, we did something interesting. The teacher said, basically, I want you to clean out all your supplies. You all have those paints, those brushes, something that you bought that you thought was going to be so cool, and now you don't use it. She goes, clean out those boxes, clear your stuff. And she goes, and then the things that are still actually very good, you just don't particularly like it, or you're not going to use it, or maybe mm-hmm. you decided you bought some oils or acrylic and you were going to mix it with your watercolor, and now you've changed your mind. She goes, bring those in, wrap them up, and we're going to have that same kind of game.
And now that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
and
different.
People really enjoyed it. They did enjoy it. I think some people more so than others, because there were a few things people were really, really, you know, going after. But what was interesting is my gift was the very last one on the table. So I thought, this is going to be kind of interesting. And my gift actually was pretty cool, at least for certain people, because it was a ceramic palette. And ceramic palettes are actually pretty expensive, but they're heavy. And so what
I was going to say.
Yeah, so what I found is, you know, I used it at home, but it's harder to clean because of its weight. And I thought, you know what, I don't really get all the joy and the use out of this. I'm gonna put this in this, you know, this gift exchange. So I did. And the one woman who, by the way, she was the last to go, and she had taken several things, and or you know, it's like there had been so many exchanges that the teacher had even said, okay, no, you can't exchange something more than three times.
Yeah.
So, you know, the really cool stuff was kind of like off the table now. You couldn't choose those. So I thought, oh God, I hope she likes this, because, you know, she doesn't have any options there, not too many. Well, she almost cried because she said, I have wanted one of these forever. And she goes, and they're so expensive, I've never bought myself one.
Oh, perfect.
And I was just like, oh my God. I mean, it was perfect. She knew what it was. She's a very good artist, and she was so thrilled. Nice. And I'm glad she went last, because she was not about to let that go. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, well, that was, you know, insightful or something. And just like what you were talking about in our everyday lives, I think sometimes we think insight or psychic hits have to be something spiritual, when the truth is they're just things that occur in our everyday lives. And that's how that was. That had always been special to me, but I just looked at it and I said, you know what? You don't give it the love and attention it deserves. Right. Let somebody else have this. And it turns out it went to the perfect person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how those psychic hits work too, that it can be about something just really very simple, you know?
Yeah.
But the energy was there, and she ended up going last, and that was the last thing on the table, you know?
Perfect. So, oh, yeah. That's great. That's great. Now, that would be a fun exchange.
Yes, and it is. Yeah. I knew it would appeal to you as a clutter clearer, because that is so true, that especially with art supplies, a lot of times there's nothing wrong with them, but the person just goes, okay, I don't need 20,000 colored pencils, you know, or whatever it is. Or we have our favorite brushes and we're never going to use. I have a brand new brush that I've used it a couple times, and I'm like, I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe because you really need to be painting large to use it. It's a large brush. And I thought, okay, that was probably a mistake, because right now you're just not painting that large, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be those things. Yeah, there's always going to be those things we've got in our art boxes that we don't use.
Oh, I've got a ton, because my mom would always, you know, I'd get a bundle of brushes or something from her, you know, periodically. Mm-hmm. And I just have, I have a lot of stuff, and it's in I have an easel that my grandfather actually built. It's more than an easel. It's large, and it has shelves, and it's a neat piece of furniture, and he built it for my mom long, long time ago. And, so I've had that forever, and the back of it, like it slants down, and then, and then the back of it, there's a shelf behind where it slants. And that's where I just have a whole bunch of stuff stashed. You know, just art supplies that, again, came from, you know, a woman that was a very good friend of hers that would offload her stuff to my mother. And this is ages ago, you know. And there's something kind of sentimental about them too, even mm-hmm. though I probably will never use them. Like, I don't know how many. I think Billy was a bit of a hoarder. You know, a supply hoarder, because she'll have, you know, 30 of the same pencil, you know, the same gauge pencil. And I don't know how many bottles of ink in the same blue.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's very funny. It's very funny. But one of these days I'll go through, and probably really they're so old that I probably could just throw them away. But I don't see them, because they're on that shelf behind, you know, the front of the easel where you put stuff on to paint. So anyway, it's just, and there's just something about brushes. I have a hard time letting go of them, even though I know I'll never use them. I just have a hard time. They just touch my soul. Mm-hmm. And I haven't painted a picture in quite a while. I need to paint. I've got a picture of what I want to mess around with sitting on my art table, but I haven't gotten to it. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Make more.
Well, and what you said too, I have a rolling cart that I keep all my supplies on, but it's not very mobile. So now I have a much smaller little rolling thing that I can take to class every week. But what ends up happening too is I forget. So it's sort of like, well, I could have sworn I had some of that. So I just get another one. And all of a sudden, then when I go through, it's like, oh, you already had a new bottle of that, you know, and I just didn't know where it was. And that's kind of where, you know, Kat has been saying recently, less is more. And I am really trying to apply that to my life because that's really the case. It's like I'm not paying enough attention and I've got double this and double that simply because I go, oh, well, that's in the other cart. Now I don't have it. And oh, I forgot I even bought it, you know, or when did I get that? So that's another thing about doing routine, I'd say clutter clearing, is if you're not using this stuff all the time, then maybe you don't even need it, or what is it there for? And just really recognizing that there are things that we have in our lives that I know I'm very sentimental about, but sometimes I look at it and just go, really? You have never used this, you know, or you have never worn this. You thought it's so cool. It looks beautiful in your closet, or it looked beautiful, you know, in the painting supplies, but you don't use that kind of paint. You don't use that brush or that color or whatever it is. And it's like, so why do you need to hang on to it? Why don't you let it go have a purpose in its life?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm good about just about everything else.
Except art supplies.
Yeah, except art supplies. Well, and again, I haven't painted for a long time. So I just need to get back to, you know, touching them and looking at them and seeing what does work and what really doesn't. I got to get back to it. I want to. Mm-hmm. It's just too much has gone on the past few years to have the time for it. But
right.
Yeah, I think next year's going to be, well, I know next year's going to be different. You know, all the stuff's done for the house. And so really be able to make a commitment. That's what I haven't done, made a commitment.
Yes. When I was in I know you used to do quite a bit.
Lot. I did. When I was in the mortgage business, it was like every weekend, that was it. One day I would paint. You know, one day or both days if I was working on something I really liked and I could just leave it sitting on the table and work on it. Well, now in my office, I have an art table. I can work. I can literally turn my chair around, walk 3 feet and work on anything I want to work on because my desk is just right across from it. So that's not an excuse. It's just time now because I work every day. I work every day. So it's making it a priority. That's the point, making it a priority to work on.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because I love to paint.
Yeah, and a lot of times I used to paint when I was working, like especially, you know, not on 12 day, usually very busy on 12 day. But, you know, if you just say, okay, you know, the phones are on, but in between phone calls, maybe I'll just do a little dib dab here or whatever. But I found is I couldn't split my mind that way is what ended up happening. And you know what? I really can't. I either need to be totally focused on one to listen what I'm doing here, and or the painting, not both. So, you know, the painting's drying up on the table behind me basically is what's happening because I'm working. And so finally I just said, okay, that's not such a good idea. You can maybe watch TV and paint, but you don't work and paint at the same time. So it's about, like you said, you know, doing a priority, deciding what's important and even giving yourself, and this is something I'm trying to get back to too, is giving myself even 20 minutes to do something I want. Like, okay, for 20 minutes, I can sit down and read a book, you know, instead of going, okay, I've got to have 3 hours to do this, which you know how painting is. Once you get into it, it's like, time just flies.
And if you're in it, you don't want to get out of that because it's just slow. It's slow.
Right. So maybe I could just say, okay, you're going to take 20 minutes and sketch something that you're going to paint. If I divide it up into little pieces, because that's where I get caught too, is going, oh, well, if I don't have 5 hours, I can't paint. Or if I don't have this much time, I can't do something. And that's not true. You know, we little bite-sized pieces of things, you know, in fact, here's something kind of funny. You know, I talk a lot about Tucker, my dog, and we sit outside in the yard. And he, unlike my previous dogs who are pretty big and could take care of themselves, he can. But because of the coyotes here, I will not let him be in the yard by himself.
Right.
And so that has changed my routine because now when he wants to spend time in the yard several times, you know, a day, it's not just 5 minutes, let him out and he comes back in. Literally, we go out and we sit. And so I needed something to do. So I listened to some podcasts, which has been really wonderful. But one of the things I decided to do is use an app to learn Italian.
Oh, cool.
And I've been doing it for a year. But there again, I may use it for 3 minutes. I may use it for 15 minutes. You know, whatever it is, he's out there playing. He's doing his thing. And, you know, I go, okay, I think I'll just, you know, go on here and do some Italian lessons. Well, I recently got the report of how much time I had spent in the last year. And they give it to you in minutes. But then when I converted it, I realized I had spent over a whole week. I mean, if you take 24 hours and, you know, put those mm-hmm. minutes into hours and hours into days, mm-hmm. I'd spend a whole week on that app. And wow. I just thought, what? Yeah, exactly. Wow. Because think about it, how much you can learn if you had spent a whole week nonstop doing something. And I do feel like I've learned a lot. Not, you know, if there's always, I mean, you know.
Sure.
I would say, no, I can't have a conversation. But, you know, it just made me realize all these little dibs and dabs of things, they add up. And mm-hmm. I think, in fact, that app is pretty clever in telling you how many minutes you've been doing this. It's now, of course, some people might go, oh, I lost a week of my life doing this. You know, that could happen, too. But I was more like, oh, my God, I spent that much time studying wow. Italian. And it's fun. I mean, that's why I do it. It is fun, even in mm-hmm. these little dibs and dabs. But there again, you know, these moments of our lives, maybe, you know, here again, we've got a lot of planets retrograde right now, including Mercury, the planet of thinking, and Mars, the planet of action. And just changing our perspective of how things get done, being adaptable, you know, doing something a little bit different. And it's like, yeah, in that time also in the yard, I cannot even tell you how many podcasts I've listened to. Mm-hmm. You know, and how many hours of lectures, you know, like you do your spiritual, you know, masters, and I do, you know, Ken Wapnick, who's A Course in Miracles, because he's got thousands of hours. And
yeah.
That's it. My phone now is just, I've just collected, you know, month after month after month, you know, okay, download a new one, download another one, you know, get another one. And that's it. And so now I've had the advantage of listening to all these classes he taught that I never got to go to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people, I guess maybe that's my message right here. Dibs and dabs, just, you know, take the little things and make them worthwhile.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, that's like, when you do that, you're really getting something out of that time. It, you know, like when I clean or when I paint, I have Joel Goldsmith on, you know, or somebody on, and I'm listening. And it's just, I don't know, it makes me feel good for one thing, and I learn stuff, and it gives me, you know, fuel for what I want to talk about or teach or something that I need to investigate further. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because that's my life. You know, I really like that. And so, you know, it's just, like I said, with the painting, making a commitment to it, making it a priority and working on it. But whatever it is, I just like that. And we've talked about it before. I think it was Alan Watts that said it's a Zen practice. If you walk into a room and you see something that needs to be done and you can do it. Don't, mm-hmm. you know, don't walk away, just do it. And that's the most interesting thing, because it's like, then it just leads you to the next moment. It's a mindfulness thing, you know, it just leads you to the next moment, the next thing that's important, even if that's not what you had intended to do. It's what's important. So, yeah, I don't know. It's cool to just jump on that, ride that wave.
Yes.
Of doing what's in front of you in the moment.
That's right. That's right.
And then all of a sudden you've done everything. You know, just done it. And
that is such an important thing too. I'm so glad you said that, because that's something that has occurred to me this week too, that, you know, it's like, how do you keep forgetting it? But you do. You see something that, oh, that coffee cup needs to go to the kitchen, or, oh, you need to put that in that drawer. And it's like, part of me always goes, oh, you'll do it later. Well, this week I've just been going, no, do it right now. You know, and not so much as a distraction, but yeah, it's going to take you 30 seconds. Maybe it's going to take you 2 minutes. Do it now. Don't let it all collect in, you know, whatever's in front of your face. Just do it right now. And that just makes such a difference. I mean, it truly does, because you hardly notice the 30 seconds or the 2 minutes that it took to do it, but you don't
exactly.
now have, you know, like clothes everywhere or whatever it is, you know, coffee cups in the office and all these things that are out of place because you just didn't bother to put them back. Just do it right now.
Yeah.
You know,
and that are tapping you on the shoulder, that are taking up space in your space because they're out of order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you get rid of them and it's like you have more space in your space. And that means you're available for, really, that means truly you're available for the next thing to do. Okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. You know, it just is, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing energy to do that. And in fact, I think it was Denise Lynn. In fact, I know it was Denise Lynn that says, if there's something that's going to take you 30 seconds to do, do it. If you can do something, whatever room you walk into, if there's something that needs to be done and you can do it in 30 seconds, do it.
Why not? Well, and here's another thing that just came into my head, and I'm not quite sure why, but I get this, and now I can't even remember his name. Sorry about that. But it's somebody that I've been reading for a long time. He just has this little blog that comes out like maybe every couple weeks. It was something he's thinking about. But most of the time, I really like what he has to say. Well, anyway, this week, he was talking about the difference between reality and what we think our reality is. And he specifically said he was redoing a bathroom and he had a cracked mirror. And he said, you know, how long do I have to go into my bathroom and see this cracked mirror? He said, so I took it down and to replace it. And he goes, but the minute I took it down, he said, I realized this, what I thought was a really acceptable, in fact, even kind of wonderful space, all of a sudden was just nothing more but a tiny little room. And you know that as a designer. I mean, you know, when you have a large mirror on a wall, especially in a bathroom, it doubles the space of the bathroom.
Sure.
And in fact, I remember telling somebody one time, they said, I just don't like this big mirror. And I said, before you take that down, I said, cover it with a sheet. And then you tell me how you feel. If you feel okay when that is completely covered up, then take it down. Well, she didn't take it down. I mean, you know, bathrooms tend to be kind of small anyway.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what the effect of that mirror. So in any case, that's what he said. He goes, I just couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, it's this dark, tiny, cramped little space. He said, now, of course, I put the new mirror back up, you know, a new mirror up. And he goes, but the room wasn't any bigger. You know, it's still a little cramped space. And he goes, but my experience of this room
is totally different
than what the reality is. So he's talking about the difference between reality and perceived reality and what is it worth. And, you know, of course, part of that is our perception, our interpretation.
Totally.
So
it's all that.
Bathroom isn't any bigger, but boy, it looks a whole lot bigger and I experience it as a whole lot bigger. So, you know, I just thought, oh yeah, that was such a good reminder. But I think it's the same thing, the space in your space. You know, all these little things that are just reminders, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. You know, all these sticky notes or whatever it is, you take those away and all of a sudden you feel like you have all the time in the world. You know, so it is like the bathroom mirror. It's like, oh, this is a wonderful space and I'm not so busy and so cramped and so got to do this, because I don't have all those things just hanging out going, look at me,
exactly.
Do this, you know, and
talking
yet nothing has changed. Nothing really significant has changed.
Right.
But the way you experience it has.
Right. And just taking action sometimes, you know, just taking and just doing something makes all the difference in the world. It's kind of like, and I probably talked about it with you before, it's like if I'm trying to write or if there's something I need to do and it's just not flowing, you know, I'll go clean the bathroom. And then I feel like a million times better.
Uh-huh.
I feel a million times better.
Yeah.
Just because I moved. And then, you know, maybe I can sit down and write and maybe I can't. But I feel better because I moved energy by just doing something and doing something productive. It's just because that's positive. You know, that's a positive outgo of energy. So, but a lot of times, well, like yesterday, you know, I wasn't really sure what we were going to talk about. And then I did it. I don't remember what it was, but it was something like I got up and did some stuff and came back. And then it was like, boom, there we go.
Yeah.
It's there. Yeah. It's like when you can't think of something and you just go, I'll forget about it. And then here it comes. It's detachment. It's detachment. Yes. That's what it is.
It really is. Yeah, all good things. I'm glad we're talking about all these things. They're just, they're all so, like I say, why do we even forget it? Why do I forget it? You know, but it is. It's exactly that same thing. Like sometimes I just go, okay, just go make your bed. Just go make your bed and arrange your room and have it just be what you need it to be. And it takes, you know, 5 minutes. And but everything feels better in my world when I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing shift. It's just, and it is. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing, but it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. I put up just a little bit of Christmas stuff. You know, not much, because I'm not going to be here for one thing. But then I thought, well, my friend's going to be here, so I just want to put up some Christmas so she has it here. She has her own house. I'm sure, you know, she'll do whatever in her house. But after I did it, it's like, well, that feels nice. You know, I put away the autumn-y color tablecloths and the little pumpkins, you know, that I had sitting out, the little ceramic pumpkins. But it was so happy. You know, I like that. I like fall colors. I like just everything that was out was just perfect. I bought a couple pillow covers, toss pillow covers from Amazon. I think I paid $10 for the pair. And they are the coolest things. They're kind of, they call it boho, you know, those wild kind of Indian patterns, so to speak. But it had turquoise and like bright kind of an orange color in it, but really beautiful greens, and they were absolutely perfect. And I left them out. It's like, they're going to be Christmas too, because I just love them. And I have that big, you know, I have that big screen, that Japanese screen, and they go perfect with it. They kind of bounce off each other. So I thought, oh, I really like this, but I went ahead and did the Christmas stuff, changed out tablecloths and stuff like that. And then I went, that's happy.
You know? Yeah.
After I got it done, it's like, I like this. This is good. This is good. Not just for, because somebody's going to come stay here. I get to enjoy it while I'm here and when I come back. So.
Yes. Well, and I did that recently too. It's funny you'd say that. I was just so bored with these throw pillows. And so I went on Amazon and I got a couple of different colors. And I went, oh my God, it's not very expensive. And it just changes the whole room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, of all the silly things, those throw pillow covers just made me so happy. And they do every time I look at them.
Yes.
I mean, every time. It's like, oh man, those are so cool.
Yes.
But yeah, just funny, just things like that. And paying attention, I think, to things like that. You know, what do I need to shake this up a bit? You know, because, you know, just going back to that, the old rule, the old feng shui rule is that unless you love it, it's stagnating.
Yes.
You know, if you don't love it, then it needs another home.
Yeah. Or you just need some excitement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I noticed we do have one question in the chat room. I don't know if we have time. Well, I don't know if we even have time to do it. But anyway, yeah, it will have to be really quick. It's from Maureen, and she has a son who is basically she feels like he's being treated unfairly at work and just wants some ideas about that. And I would just say, you know, I know Maureen and I actually know the chart of her son. So I would say, yeah, Maureen, there's actually a lot of stuff going on for him. But one thing I can tell you is the future is going to be a whole lot better than right now. And it's because I see some really wonderful things coming up for him in 2025 that I think are going to change that job. But unfortunately, I would almost say I feel kind of and I want Kelly to kind of weigh in on this. I feel really conflicted about what's going to happen with the bonus, because I feel like there is something going on with that boss where he or she that is not as organized or as structured or as fair as they need to be. And I can't see that changing really quickly. But what I can see is that Logan's attitude towards it is going to change, you know, and I think So maybe he really does end up getting the bonus, but even if he doesn't, I think there's something coming along in which he's going to feel a whole lot better. Now, one thing too, I'm not feeling that I should tell you, hey, he needs to leave that job. Just leave that job. But I think based on his chart, he's got some major Pluto stuff, which is transformation coming up for career for years to come. So this may be nothing more than a stepping stone. And if he's really good at sales, this may be just a jumping off point. So then he's like in 2025 or soon going, bye-bye, I've got something so much better. So there may be some initial disappointment here, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with that money, but I do think he needs to really listen to his intuition. What are the messages telling him? And if there are messages saying, I just want out of here, I just want out of here, I'm not being treated fairly, he needs to listen to that, but I'm not suggesting he make a move right now, especially with Mars retrograde, but I think he's going to be happier than he thinks or than you think, because he's kind of sailing high on something, and the energy is going to move in his direction. Go ahead, Kelly. Do you have something for Maureen?
Well, I just want to say, you know, if he's doing what he, to focus on the positives, meaning, again, everything is perception. And what you give your attention to, if you feel every day that I'm not being treated fairly, that's exactly what you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just is, because you believe it. So I think the more he focuses on his integrity, what he brings to the job, what he does, I think that's my advice. My advice is to focus on that, to do the very best he can possibly do. Because you know what he's doing, Maureen? He's planting seeds for his next step, whether it's with that company or another company. So I would, it's hard to detach when you're very emotionally invested in something, but if he can, and if you can as well, that's what I would offer. Because, thinking about that all the time, we cause our own suffering, and that doesn't help anything. It just proves again and again and again that this is what is in this moment. And even if it is, his power is his integrity. And his talent and his ability. And that's what I offer that he focus on. And that's what I offer you encourage him to do.
Yep, absolutely. And know that that Mars retrograde is actually having a big effect on his 10th house career. And so it's in flux. It's in for some change. And we're not anywhere near close to where it's going to end for him. So hang tight, have some fun, focus on what you like, focus on what you're good at, and enjoy what you can about that job, because it's going to be a springboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he is so good. I mean, it's just, he's so good that it's like, who is it? Wallace Wattles. When you more than fill the space that you're in, evolution, God, life moves you out of it. Mm-hmm. So continue to more than fill that space, work to your highest ability, to your greatest integrity, give them more than they expect, because they're not it. They're not the end all to be all. And you will be moved out, maybe from there, or maybe with a promotion and a bonus. But it has to happen, because that's evolution.
Yep. And you're right, Kelly. Focus on focus on your own integrity, not the people that you don't have control over anyway.
Right.
Focus on your own integrity, and you will be moved up and out.
Absolutely. Doesn't fail. Yep.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, thanks. And hey, Maureen and everybody else in the chat room today, thank you so much for being here. And there was a new listener,
yes,
Kelly,
thank
Jean.
You.
So, yeah.
Jean, thanks. Hi. I hope you liked it.
Yeah. Great. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. And I guess this is not my show to end, but Kelly, thank you for having me on the show today, and for everybody. Thanks.
You're welcome. And you'll be on, I just want to say, you'll be on for 1-2 day on Thursday. Just want to give that another shout out.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Good. Well, everyone, thank you for being here. Thanks for listening, however and whenever you do. This is Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Bye-bye, everyone.